This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The FDA heard from a panel of medical experts this week on how young people are affected by antidepressants known as SSRIs. Yesterday, the panel concluded that the drugs should come with warnings that they raise the risk of suicidal tendencies among children and teens. Whether these drugs actually affect rates of suicide is still unknown. If the FDA decides to act on the recommendations, the antidepressants could be labeled with the new black box warnings, the strongest advisory for prescription drugs the government issues, as soon as next month. For this segment, we want to hear from parents with children dealing with depression. What questions do you have about the new recommendations? How is this affecting your family? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now by phone from Harrison, New York, is Dr. David Fassler, an adolescent psychiatrist and trustee of the American Psychiatric Association. He testified at the FDA hearings earlier this week, and thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to be here, Neil.
First of all, remind us a little bit about what these drugs are and how often doctors are prescribing them to children and teenagers.
Well, the SSRI antidepressants have been around for over 10 years. They have a good track record with adults, and in recent years, they've been used more and more with children and adolescents. And at this point, over a million young people under the age of 18 are taking these medications in this country. And the general clinical consensus is that they can be extremely helpful and even life-saving for some children and adolescents. But medication by itself is rarely an appropriate treatment, in my opinion, for these kinds of complex psychiatric conditions. It should really be used as a component, as a part of a comprehensive treatment plan.
Could you tell us some of the more prominent brand names, just so people understand which...
Well, certainly, these are medications like Prozac that people have heard of, and Paxil, and Zoloft. So those are the common medications that people hear about.
Now, how was suicidal behavior defined in this analysis?
Well, this was a complex analysis of about 24 studies, and they really broke suicidal behavior down into very specific categories, and in the category that where they found the significant difference was suicidal thinking and behavior. So kids who were thinking about hurting themselves were kids who actually did something that might have been dangerous. And when they lumped those categories together and they looked at all the kids treated, not just for depression, but also for anxiety disorders, that's where they found this increase of about two times in the risk. When they looked at some of the other categories, such as the emergence of new suicidal symptoms or the worsening of existing suicidal symptoms, they didn't see a difference. There was no significant difference. So the data at this point is still inconsistent and somewhat inconclusive. Nonetheless, any risk, any increased risk of suicide needs to be taken extremely seriously. And I think the advisory panel felt, and I would certainly agree, that parents and physicians need and deserve as much information as possible about all of these medications.
And as I understand it, there was some very emotional testimony. Obviously, losing a child to suicide is... it's hard to imagine what those people are going through. But nevertheless, as I understand it, the most difficult period is in the first few days or weeks of a young person beginning to take these kinds of drugs.
It does seem that there's an increased risk early in the course of treatment, but it's not entirely clear that that's tied to these specific medications. And in fact, the FDA or the advisory committee is talking about warnings for all antidepressants, including the older antidepressants called the tricyclics. And ultimately, we may have warnings for adults as well. You know, when we were in training in medical school and residency, we were all taught that early in the course of treatment for depression, there's an increased risk of suicide. We don't know exactly why. One of the prominent theories is that some of the symptoms of depression start to get better before other symptoms. So your energy may come back and your appetite may come back and you may be sleeping better, but you're still having thoughts about killing yourself. And now all of a sudden you have the energy to actually go and do it.
We want to get as many listeners as we can a chance to talk with Dr. Fassler about this issue. 800-989-8255 or email totn@npr.org. Let's begin with Becky, who's calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My son has just been recently, just this past week, being prescribed to take Zoloft. He's an 11-year-old boy who was diagnosed with depression during the summer months of this past summer, and now has more of an anxiety issue or anxiety disorder. So the child psychiatrist suggested that we try a Zoloft for him. And now, of course, with all this going on in the news, it's made me a little uncomfortable or concerned. And my question is with what I have not heard on the news is whether the combination of talk therapy, which my son is also doing with a licensed clinical social worker, and just now being prescribed to start taking a low dose of Zoloft, is that the concern that, or not the concern, but the caution mm-hmm. that, you know, the experts are warning parents about, or is it just medication only and not including talk therapy in dealing with this, you know, issue for families and children?
Dr. Fassler?
Sure. Becky, the general clinical consensus is that the combination of medication and talk therapy is more effective than either alone. And we even have some evidence that some specific kinds of talk therapy, specifically cognitive behavioral therapy, actually can reduce the risk of some of these side effects. So it's very good that your son's involved in both. And if you have specific questions about the medications, I would really urge you and urge all parents to talk to your child's physician, get answers to all of your questions, and if you have ongoing concerns, you should always feel free to get a second opinion as well. But the medications can be very effective. They are used both for depression and for anxiety disorders. A lot of particularly younger children who are on these medications are actually not taking them for depression, but they are taking them for anxiety disorders.
Go ahead, Becky. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to follow up. That's what we have read and what the psychiatrist had also recommended for us is to continue with both. And even the last issue of Consumers Report did, and you know, an article on this that they also reinforced the ideology of talk therapy as well as continuing medication if medication is prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything, though, that we should, parents who are in the new process of this, like ourselves, should be aware of other than the symptoms that have been reported as cautionary symptoms? I'm still kind of seeking help to manage down this road.
Right. If your son's having any sort of side effects or if his particular symptoms of depression or anxiety are getting worse, or certainly if he has any thoughts or is talking at all about hurting himself or hurting anybody else, you got to call his doctor right away and get it checked out. But the good news is that most kids actually respond quite well, and they do need ongoing monitoring, and the talk therapy is extremely helpful. The medication can even help make it easier for kids to participate in the talk therapy sometimes. So it sounds, from what you said, like you're heading in the right direction.
Becky, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the phone call. Email from Brian in San Antonio, Texas. What's the general difference between Prozac and the other antidepressants? Because they are FDA approved to be given to kids, and yet Zoloft and the others aren't. What makes them different? Was there more convincing evidence with Prozac than with the others?
It's a good question. Prozac has been around a long time, and we have a fair amount of research on Prozac. And it's the only one of the SSRIs where the pharmaceutical company actually applied for a specific FDA indication for children and adolescents. And we do have a number of studies, not a lot of studies, three or four studies demonstrating the efficacy or the effectiveness of Prozac. We don't have enough research on many of the medications. We need more research on the safety and efficacy of all of these medications, but at this point in time, the other medications haven't been specifically approved by the FDA for use in children and adolescents, although many of the medications that we use in psychiatry and in pediatrics aren't specifically approved for use in this age group.
We're talking about antidepressants and kids. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's another caller. Susan joins us now from Livonia, Michigan.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. My daughter, when she was 11, 6 years ago, had gastric reflux disease severely and irritable bowel syndrome, was given Paxil for the irritable bowel, kept on it for 4 years. Within 6 months of being on it, she was had depression and rage episodes and ended up at a psychiatrist to put on two more psychiatric medicines. So I just wanted to talk about doctors who prescribe Paxil or others for other conditions besides depression or psychiatric reasons.
Well, you raise a good point, and it's critical for people to get a comprehensive evaluation before kids start on any medication. And I think we need to be careful about how we use these medications, particularly for indications where we really don't have a lot of research. I'll tell you, we don't have a lot of data on the long-term effects of many of these medications. But at the same time, for kids who really do have depression, it's a very serious illness. It's a very real illness with long-term consequences. We
about non-psychiatrists prescribing these,
that's
pediatric
gastroenterologist. I certainly have many pediatric colleagues who have a good deal of expertise in this area, but most pediatricians and primary care physicians will tell you that they really haven't had the training or the background, and the majority of these medications are actually not prescribed by psychiatrists, but are prescribed by primary care physicians and other providers.
Susan, thank you. Let's talk now with Greg. Greg's calling from Roscoe, Illinois.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter has been on antidepressants since she was 17. She's 21 now, and she's doing fantastic. She was, I thought, going to flunk out of high school. Now she's in college and doing great. However, having said that, my concern is her psychiatrist who prescribed Zoloft in the beginning, and she's now on something called Depakote because she's bipolar. We got side effects. You know, they told us, hey, you may have this, dry mouth, blah, blah, blah. But never was there any mention that, hey, you need to watch her a little close because there could be a tendency to possibly commit suicide or whatever. If we had that information, I don't know that we would have changed our decision. We certainly would have watched her a little bit closer, and luckily she turned out okay.
Well,
I'm concerned that our psychiatrist didn't tell us to look out for that type of stuff.
And you raise a good point. First of all, I'm glad to hear that that your daughter's doing well. We have more information today than we had back 4 years ago when your daughter started treatment. Partly, I testified at the FDA in February, and we were given data from 23 clinical trials. Most of us had never seen many of those trials before because they hadn't been published. We've been pushing since then to get more access to this data for parents, physicians, and researchers. So I can't say, it doesn't necessarily mean that your physician did something wrong. Certainly, people should get full information about the full range of possible side effects, but there's a lot we know today that we didn't know 3 or 4 years ago.
Greg, continued good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. We just have a minute left, but here's an email question from Vicky in Sunnyvale, California. My son takes Paxil CR for anxiety. Do I need to worry? How do I assess his state of mind regarding suicidal thoughts?
Well, we don't know how old the son is, but certainly she should talk to her son's physician. And I think parents should talk to kids directly about if they're having any thoughts about hurting themselves. One of the things that we found is that kids will often tell somebody, but we don't always ask them, and sometimes we're afraid to ask them. And we really know now that asking kids those kinds of questions doesn't put the idea in their mind. So we need to create an open environment where kids feel safe and comfortable coming and talking to us about those issues if they're having those kinds of thoughts.
And just very briefly, but should parents also be inquiring as with siblings or friends if their son or daughter who's on an antidepressant is talking that way?
Well, Absolutely, and we're trying to raise really a whole generation of kids who don't keep secrets. If someone tells you that they're thinking about hurting themselves or hurting somebody else, you got to tell somebody. We have a whole campaign through the American Psychiatric Association called When Not to Keep a Secret, really encouraging kids that they've got to tell a teacher or a parent.
Dr. David Fassler, I'm afraid to cut you off, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.